Good evening and welcome to the latest edition of the OTL podcast with your host Emma Quigley, standing in very late notice for Mr. Colin Telford, but he has very kindly left me an agenda to stick to and here to decide whether or not we will stick to that agenda or whether we'll go off on a tangent is Mr. Alan Porteous. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fine. It's been a great season so far, and I'm really quite excited about Sunday. So, yeah, looking forward to talking about it and the new Saints, whoever they may be.
Yep, it's been a while since we had you on the podcast. So you're enjoying the season so far?
Yes, it's been excellent. I think you just don't know where the games are going at all. We could, and I'm still looking downwards. Is that pessimistic? I'm still looking as far downwards as I'm looking upwards. So, you know, it's. Every game is on the edge of your seat type of stuff, which can only be good.
I think 10 years in League One probably humbles you a bit, and maybe looking downwards is part of the mentality some of us still have. And also joining us tonight, Mr. Colin Campbell's best pal, it's Sean Smith. How are you?
Hi, Emma. I'm good, thank you. Despite the slight on the last podcast, I'm all good, thanks. Yeah, looking forward to the cup final on Sunday. It's great to have a cup final to look forward to. It's been too long since we've had a cup final or indeed any sort of cup run. So it's nice to have that to look forward to on Sunday. Can't wait.
So before we get to the cup final and the new Saints, we had a game on Saturday. So I thought we would just talk a little bit about that before we start to get ourselves very excited for Sunday. Arbroath, bottom of the league, 5-2, you know, I think that's the biggest win we've had this season. Most goals we've scored in a single game this season. What did you think?
It was a comfortable win in the end, but certainly, you know, for a 5-2 scoreline, it was still a result that we had to work for. I think that seems to be the case in all games in this division. Doesn't matter who you're playing, Arbroath or bottom of the league, but you still need to work for those 3 points and you're not going to get an easy game. At the start of the game, I thought we were toiling a bit. Charlie Riley, it was giving us a bit of grief, so I was pleased when he went off, even though I wasn't pleased that he was taking his time and walking off diagonally rather than straight. But that was a bit annoying. But I was pleased he went off because he was giving us a tough time. But once we got our goal and once we changed the shape, I thought we got more of a foothold in the game, and then. After that, I wouldn't say it was easy, but after that, well, once we got a bit more control, I thought it was a deserved win at the end. Like at the start of the game, Todorov was a bit isolated, there wasn't much sticking up front, and the two fullbacks, they did have good, obviously Megwa, you know, did well for the first goal, Hancock got a goal, but like I said, at first, they were probably having two of their poorer games at the start of the game. And yeah, we just struggled to really get any sort of foothold into the game. But once we changed the shape, went back to the diamond, and especially once we got our goal. And the second goal as well, it was really crucial to get that before half time. It was a lovely finish by McStravick, really clever bit of play. Once we did that, once we got that second goal, I think there was probably only going to be one winner. So it was a great result. Nice to go into a cup final where, you know, after scoring 5 goals, like you say, that's the biggest win of the season. So it's nice to do that. It means we can go into it with a bit of confidence. We've also been on a good run. I think we're unbeaten in our last 5 games, or it's something like that anyway. And I think as well, something I think is also important, we've improved our away form as well. Which is obviously important going into Sunday because the game's not going to be at home, obviously. Like, I think 6 of our last 13 points, 6 of our 13 away points, sorry, you know, have come in the last month or so. So it's encouraging that our performances and results are getting better as well. So definitely a lot of encouragement, can take a lot of encouragement from Saturday into the cup final.
And like Sean said, I think looking at the stats from the weekend, we are the form team in the league, alongside Raith Rovers. So do you think we're hitting form at the right time? And as you said, we can maybe stop looking down and start looking upwards.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm laughing at Sean complaining about Charlie Riley. I saw him in hospitality on Saturday, and he was walking diagonally, not straight to the toilet and whatever. So I don't give other people a hard time for doing what you do. No, I think I definitely think I'm still, I'll be honest, I'm still looking downwards. I feel it's such a tough league. I feel a bit more comfortable. You know, all my mates are looking at promotion and playoffs and stuff like that. But I just keep feeling that without doing terribly much wrong, you could lose two or three games on the bounce and still be. And if you lose three games on the bounce, you're down in the grubber again. So, you know, maybe that just makes it more exciting. I'm more confident that even when we go a goal down, I think you don't really feel that we're out of it. There are what somebody said to me during the week. There was a time a couple of years ago that if we went a goal down, we would huff and puff and you'd be struggling to come back. And I don't really think that's there now. Personally, I was still shitting it at 3-2. You're only a hike up the park and a header down for the second ball and somebody batters it in. So yeah, I didn't feel comfortable at 3-2, even although we were playing by far the better football by a country mile, and that's no disservice to Arbroath. I thought Arbroath were okay. Watching the highlights, they got forward pretty quickly, pretty well, causes a bit of bother. More so probably they looked a better football team than I think Ayr United and Queen's Park and Inverness have done to a point. So I felt a wee bit sorry for them. As you were saying earlier, Emma, that their heads kind of went down fairly quickly and they seem a little bit resigned to getting beaten and maybe getting beaten heavily, which can only be good. You know, if the quicker they get resigned to relegation, the better. And then we can worry about who the other person is and to go down with them. And once I think that separation appears, I think we'll start to feel, well, I'll start to feel a wee bit more comfortable about the whole thing. Don't know about anybody else.
And of course, it's nice to see five goals from five different goal scorers. But probably the other talking point from Saturday was obviously Josh's injury. And I think probably speak for everyone on the podcast and all the fans just to wish him the very best with his recovery. It sounds like a right nasty one. It just takes the time he needs to get better. So get well soon, Josh. But we had Young Hemphrey join us in goals. Probably quite harsh to make any judgments on him, given he's had a few days training. But what did you guys think?
He didn't have an awful lot to do apart from the goals. There was one, I think it was 1-0 at the time. He sort of made an intervention. One of the Arbroath players cut it back to one of their teammates, and if they got it, then it would have been 2-0. And then at that point, it's potentially, it probably would have been a very different outcome. So that was an important save. I thought for the second goal, we chatted about this on the you know on our group chat. Second goal, I think he gets caught a little bit. He's a bit flat-footed for the second goal, so you could potentially be critical of him there. He probably should do better, but I think obviously I don't know how I don't know sort of when he first came to the club and when he was first training with his teammates. So he's still getting to know them. He's still and they're still getting to know him and what he's good at, and they're still working through their communication. What else? I think the biggest issue with that goal was communication. I think maybe Hemphrey thought Berdyce was going to deal with it, and Berdyce maybe thought Hemphrey was going to deal with it. So I'm happy to give him the benefit of the doubt for that, based on the fact that he's not played any sort of, well, I assume he's not played any sort of football for the best part of a year now, and I don't even know if he's trained in that time period either. So willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for that, and hopefully he'll do his a turn while Josh is out. And like you say, I can only echo your best wishes. Obviously, it's I wasn't at the Inverness game, but it sounded like a really bad one from from what I've heard and from what people, including Josh, have said. So yeah, get well soon, Josh. You've been great for us these last couple of seasons. So yeah, get well soon.
Alan, any thoughts on the young keeper?
I mean, it's like Sean says, it's early days. If I was being critical, which I'm going to be, for a big, tall guy, he doesn't come off his line in the slightest. I'd like to see him come off his line a wee bit more. That'll maybe come with a wee bit of training and a wee bit of confidence. He had a bit of a haunted look about him, to be honest. Like, what am I doing here? Last week I was playing golf, and now I'm playing in the Championship. But I thought the first goal was kind of hit quite near him, and he starfished himself a wee bit rather than diving with a bit of reaction. Second goal, I think folk beside me were saying, did Dicey make a bit of a muck of it? But I don't know. I think the goalie just gets caught in two minds and has a hesitancy about him that, again, quite possibly comes from being pretty rusty. So, jury's out a wee bit. It would have been, I just kept willing our both to hit something at him from range or something that we could see some sort of reaction, see him make a couple of decent saves. And really, I think the one in the first 15 minutes or something that comes across from wide, and he tries to smother it and spills it a tiny wee bit. That's about the only other save he almost had to make, plus a kind of awkward attack on the ball / the man in the first 5 minutes or so that I thought it's going to take out everything that's in front of him. So, jury's very much out, and it would be very unfair to criticise him. But does that make it a risk? Does that make it a risk taking on somebody for what could be the last period of an important period of the season when the guy's not really kicked a ball in anger for a long, long time? Would it have been better to have somebody that's been playing fairly regularly?
I suppose the difficulty is you just don't know who's available at this point in the season. And, you know, I think most fans are default, isn't it, is to go to like Murray Johnson, but he'd have been cup tied, so that wouldn't have solved a problem for us.
I wasn't so much bothered about the cup tied side of things. In many ways, if we'd got somebody a bit more, even if they had been cup tied, I would have ran the risk in playing one of maybe the young boy from the youth team in that one cup final, with a view to the bigger risk and the bigger picture being getting somebody in that you're very comfortable with to see us through the rest of the season. But again, it adds a wee bit of jeopardy, doesn't it? Injuries, and you know, there's nothing signed, sealed, and delivered about this next couple of months coming up, is there?
No, I mean, we were just when we were setting up the podcast, we were pointing out that, you know, Morton went from 16 unbeaten to 4 straight losses, all thanks to Agent ATS, if you were to ask Morton fans. You know, but the games come thick and fast on the other side of the cup final as well. You know, we've got Ayr on the Friday night and then Arbroath away. So it's, you know, the games and the kind of the heavy schedule just keeps coming for us.
There's no guarantee. You look at that Gayfield fixture and there's no guarantee of that either. I'm just six seniors. We go to Gayfield and it doesn't really matter if you play good, well, or indifferently, and you still come away with 3 or 4-0 defeat, thinking what went wrong and they weren't that good. So there's nothing in stone there. I asked Wraith Rovers from a couple of weeks ago.
Just do what everybody else does and blame the wind if you get a bad result up there. That seems to be standard, doesn't it? Joining us for the second part of the podcast, where we're going to be looking ahead to our cup final on Sunday, is the voice of Diamonds TV to you and I, Mr. Andrew Duffy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. Good to be with you all.
You just joined us for the glory hunting section, have you?
That's it, yeah. Cup final, special occasion. So I thought I'd deign to grace you with my presence, you know.
No, he was actually running late, to be fair. So thanks for taking the time to dial in and join us. So we're just reflecting a little bit on the positives of the 5-2 going into the weekend. But obviously we'll have no Megwa, no Lyle. We've got a new keeper. And I've just seen I haven't done much research at all on the opposition because I was going for the ignorance is bliss approach. Of crossing fingers, hoping for the best. So hoping you guys could help me a little bit on discussing our opponents for Saturday. So all I know about TNS is it's an English team playing in the Welsh League, hoping to win a Scottish trophy, and apparently running away with the league that they're in. So have you guys watched much? Andrew, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I've been having to do a bit of research to try and make sure I get some of the players' names right and have a kind of a general idea of how they're going to line up when we do the the commentary for the stream from the game on Sunday. So, yeah, as you pointed out, they are an English team, at least in terms of their location, playing in the Cymru Premier. Perennial winners of the Cymru Premier, they seem to win that all the time, bar two seasons that Connors Key Nomads won. So they're very much in the winning habit. So they'll have that momentum. I think it's very hard to gauge their qualities. I suppose you look at the run they've had to the final. They beat Arbroath and they've beat Falkirk. So they've beaten a League One team and they've beaten a team that looked very much, you know, looked on Saturday very much like a League One team in waiting. So I expect them to be decent. I expect them to be full of confidence. But I think from their perspective, you're looking at the toughest team they will have faced. If they're to win this competition, it will be by beating the best team they will have faced in the competition in Airdrie. We are just clearly by dint of league positions, as we're recording, with the fourth team in this second tier. So that is a good bit above Arbroath and Falkirk. So it'll be a test for both teams. And I think everybody's quite excited to play someone new. You know, we've had Greenock Morton, we've had Raith Rovers in this competition, which is teams you play relentlessly in this division. So, and we know we've had plenty of games with Falkirk in the past. So the fact that it's TNS that have emerged as the opposition, I think just makes it a wee bit fresh. It'll be interesting to see how they get on. But no, I think it will be a step up for them as well, certainly compared to what they played domestically and what they've played so far in the SPFL Trust Trophy, as I suppose I should call it.
And Alan, well, Andy's working on his pronunciations. You've been looking up the YouTube clips. Has there anything kind of struck you from what you've seen on YouTube?
I've actually been quite impressed by them. I saw them, obviously, in the Falkirk game, and I thought they were a bit workmanlike. They kind of ground out their win. But watching them play in their league, they play very much like us. You know, it's all in the deck. They don't hustle the ball forward quickly. They pass it across the back four, play it through the middle. Couple of decent players. I was quite impressed. They've got a forward, Brad Young. He's got a bit of pace about him. Ginger-haired guy. He's got a good shot on him. Who else? There's a good midfielder guy, Ben Clark. He looked pretty useful as well. Another guy with a decent shot on him. Their goalie, I believe, is a penalty king. So we don't really want it to go to penalties. He saves quite a lot of penalties. So, mind you, our boy could just lie down and it would be difficult to get the ball. You could touch both corners if that was the case. So, quite impressed. There's something to beat there. I don't think we underestimate them by any manner of means. I get the impression looking at their, you know, a lot of their highlights, they don't like a cross ball. So they seem to not pick up a sizable forward. And bearing in mind we've scored, you know, on Saturday we look quite dangerous from the cross ball. That augurs very, very well. Wee bit disappointed. I didn't really say that much about the Arbroath game earlier on, but I'm a bit disappointed that Lyle doesn't get to keep his momentum going, because I thought he was absolutely outstanding on Saturday. You know, really one of the probably outstanding solo performances of this season. So, you know, you're just anxious to see him pick that up and do something with it. And he's sidelined, unfortunately. But no, I think if we play our game and they play theirs, it'll be relatively open. I don't think we'll get out-muscled. It's not like playing Morton or Ayr or anything like that. I don't think they look terribly physical. So, yeah, lots of encouraging things, but they're not to be taken lightly, I don't think.
And Sean, how would you approach that final sort of selection-wise, given what we've mentioned? You know, we don't have Lyle, we don't have Megwa. We do have a few injuries. I'm not 100% sure who's going to be back for that one. You know, if you do have a player on the cusp of coming back, is that a game you want to risk them for? How would you line up on Sunday?
Yeah, I have to agree with Alan. It's a real shame that Lyle can't play. He was excellent on Saturday and he would have been my choice for man of the match. And the fact him and Megwa are both cup tied, that's another reason to get rid of these B teams. as I think we've discussed on the podcast before. In terms of how we would line up, I'd have McCabe back in the team, and I think he's really important, and especially for these big games, he just seems to, you know, be able to control them, get his foot down in the ball, control the midfield, find the really important passes. So I would definitely have McCabe back in. In terms of up front, I don't know if Gabby's going to be back. If he is back, ideally I would have him in the team, but like you say, if he's not fully fit, you put him in. I don't know, it's a tough decision, but certainly I think recently when we've been at our best, I think it has been when we've had Todorov and Gabby up front. I think they work quite well together, and I think Gabby's work great in his energy, really does get us up the park. So if he is fit, well, if it was up to me, I would have him in the team, but obviously there is a discussion there. If he's not fit, then it's a difficult one. You know, do you put Gal in? I'd love Gal to come in and, you know, score the cup winning goal, but him and Todorov haven't really worked that well together before, and you know he's also, as much as I love him, he's not played that well for a wee while now, so I'm not sure. And then O'Connor, he's maybe, you know, he's certainly got the pace to give teams problems, but I don't really think he's good enough to be to be starting a cup final, unfortunately. So there is definitely selection issues there in terms of, you know, if Gabby's not fit, you know, who do we play up front, or do you put Todorov up front on his own and then put in an extra midfielder? That's obviously something we could do, although again, with Lyle being out, obviously, you know, obviously it means we can't play the same team as we did on Saturday, even if we wanted to. So do you swap Lyle for Danielle maybe? Or, you know, I think Danielle's shown up quite well when he has came on, but I'm not, obviously, you know, we're talking about, you know, Gabby, you know, he does bring a bit of pace and work rate, and I'm not really sure if Danielle necessarily offers that. So there's definitely some selection. There's definitely questions there. There's definitely, obviously, a few players out, which isn't ideal. I think at the back as well, Meg was out, so hopefully Ballantyne's fit. He was on the bench on Saturday, so hopefully that means he'll be fit enough to play this weekend. So yeah, there's definitely questions there. But if it was me, I would definitely have McCabe in. And I suppose that's another one. Do you play McCabe and McMaster together? That's not always worked. It has before. But yeah, I would certainly definitely have McCabe in, and if Gabby's fit, I would have Gabby in as well.
I suppose as well, if Cammy's not fit enough to start, then you've probably got McCabe back in defence, which is another option.
Yeah.
Andrew, without giving away any podcast exclusives or anything, I know you do the interviews through the week, so I'm not asking you to give away any secrets, but what would you like to see on Sunday?
Give away some secrets, Andy. Come on.
Spill the beans. Unmute myself first, yeah. Beans. There's not a great deal of beans to spill. I think when we do the preview interviews on a Tuesday, it's still very early in the training week. There's times you're speaking to the guys on a Tuesday evening, and players are very much touch and go, or very much expected to be involved. And then come the Saturday, or in this case the Sunday, something else has come up, and they're not fit for selection because of whatever else has happened in the week. So I imagine players like Gabby, players like Lewis McGregor, they'll be given every chance to prove that they're fit to play and fit to be involved in some capacity, whether it's from the start or on the bench. But without giving away too much of the preview interviews, you know, Reece is not, he's in obviously in a tough spot because the games that come after this cup final are huge games for us if we want to get what we want out of this season. You know, we might not be in fourth spot come Sunday, depending on how results go in the league, if the league games are on the Saturday, but we're very much in that conversation for the promotion playoffs. And if someone gets rushed back for the final only to then miss the last nine or so games, it's a difficult spot to be in. So players will be given the opportunity, but I don't think, and you know, they're football players and it's a cup final, the guys are all desperate to be there, and Kanai Omegua and Aaron Lyle are gutted that they can't play, you know, especially as you were mentioning. You'll have seen it when I spoke to Aaron Lyle after the game, he'd kind of dropped when we talked about how he's cup tied, because the first thing he wants to do as soon as that game was finished on Saturday was have another game because of the form and the way he played. The hope is that Cammy Ballantyne's an obvious swap back in for Canio, of course. I don't think we'll be in panic stations if Cammy's judged to not quite be ready. You can put Reece in at centre half with Watson at right back. Those options, you know, have worked for us already this season. We didn't do too badly in the last round in this cup either, up at Starks Park. So there's options there. I think there's players that have a chance of making it that weren't involved last week, but that's based purely on how they were looking on Tuesday. They'll be assessed all through the week, and we'll just have to take it as is. I think with it being a different opposition, and I know they've been very diligent in the work, as much as I'm confident of a result, you know, I'm not, that the guys involved at the club, they're not complacent about it. So they'll have worked, and they, I know they have been working diligently on the opposition. Whether that plays into his thinking in terms of how he sets the team up, which personnel he thinks are going to be most effective from the start. He talks enough about how much it's a squad game, so he might be thinking about guys that can make more of an impact in the latter stages. It's an interesting one. I think it's good that we've got options because we do have a decent squad, and I think we've already, both Alan and Sean have mentioned, players that could easily start in this game, different combinations of them, and you wouldn't fall off your chair. And I think that's good. You would imagine he's going to stick to form as best he can, as far as fitness and availability will allow. So Todorov and someone, you would expect. Who that someone will be. You know, he's got Liam McStravick that he can play off the striker or as a through the middle, and he seemed really effective, I thought, on Saturday when he did that, especially coming through the middle, that kind of late delayed run for the goal just before half time. So he's got options there. And I guess if the OTL podcast and the DTV commentator can't second guess exactly how he's going to line up, then it's very unlikely that TNS will be able to second guess it either.
So problems there, but loads of different solutions is kind of what I'm getting from you guys. So kind of moving away from that, you know, we don't see many cup finals as an Airdrie fan. Some of us maybe on here of a certain vintage used to. But it's been a while, and I include myself in that because I've been at a few. Is anyone, you know, doing anything different on Saturday? I think for myself, this is the first time you've got two cars going to an Airdrie game, because we're taking a few people through, and it's the first time in all the years I've ever had to take, I think, two cars. But anyone doing anything different for the cup final on Sunday? Please don't say I'm going to the pub all day. Alan, what are your plans for the final?
No, I'm not doing anything greatly different, to be honest. My biggest fear for this was, I mean, I thought you were going to start reminiscing about all the old finals when you mentioned the older guys, of which I have to say I'm the senior guy here now. I was looking at those old cup finals and I can't remember any of them. I don't know what was going on with me. If I was drunk or sleeping or something. I can remember the Ross County one, but I can't really remember many of the other ones, other than there was always loads of goals and penalties and things. So
that's all I remember is watching, not watching one of the penalty shootouts because I had my back to it because it was too much for me. And then so we kind of won the cup with my back to the pitch.
I think it was just maybe a bit blasé that there were all these Scottish Cup finals and things, that the B&Q Challenge Alba Cup thing, whatever it was at the time, was, it was almost like, you know, we deserved to be there every second year, and you did get a little bit blasé about it. And you know, I wrote down in my notes there that I think that, so the last one would have been 2008, 2009, and then I've got the wilderness years after that because we've just not got to anything like it. And maybe that's, I can't, you know, somebody mentioned it earlier that cup runs are really not been our forte for quite some time. So, and we're kind of turning that on its head a bit this year. back to the how good the season's been. You know, I think we have had cup runs. You know, we've got out of the League Cup scenario really well and looked effective in that. The Scottish Cup was a brilliant run as well. It's just back to this. The league's had everything so far for me. You know, it's and now we've got a final against a team that we know nothing about, and it's going to be a real crapshoot. So yeah, it's all good. Just don't ask me about all the old ones that I clearly have no recollection of.
No, I was there, but I say that's really the only memory I have of it. Challenge Cup finals. Sean, do you get any better memories than Alan I can muster?
Well, I was at the 03-04 one. I don't really remember. I remember being there. I don't remember the game. Obviously, that was one that we lost, so it's maybe just as well I don't remember it, but that was my first cup final. I do remember the 08-09 one. It was a good game, actually. Obviously, it finished 2-2. David Nixon's of our team scored an excellent own goal for Ross County, which is it's worth seeking out if you can find it anywhere. And then you finished 2-2, got a rare Stephen McKenna goal, and Joe Cardo as well before he obviously left for scrapping with Mark Smith. And then penalty shootout win as well, which is always enjoyable. So I do remember that one. That was a great day out. Hopefully more of the same this weekend. In terms of my plans, I don't have any. I'm going to be going to the pub, which is not at all different from what I normally do. last time I did that, last time we did in Falkirk, that ended pretty well. So again, here's hoping for the same again, and we keep our recent record at the Falkirk Stadium going.
And Andrew, what about you? Because normally your match routine would be probably slightly different to us, who are all lurking in pubs. Are there any Diamonds TV this weekend with being on the television, or are you doing audio? What's your...
We will be doing a stream for overseas subscribers, so anyone overseas can watch the game, and we'll have the audio stream as normal as well. So yeah, it will be cup final commentary for me, which is just another one of these kind of crazy pinch me moments for me this season. It's going to be quite something else. I'll see if I can keep it relatively objective as I'm able to keep the other commentaries or not when it's a cup final. We'll see how that changes, but that'll be interesting. I'll be in a different section of the Falkirk Stadium than I've ever been in before. We'll be up in a media gantry somewhere, so that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. Not something I ever thought I'd be able to do as a commentary for a cup final, so that could be quite interesting and quite enjoyable if it goes the way I hope and expect it will go.
Depending on how it goes, we could end up a new podcast intro. You could overtake Brian.
Well, I think I'll need to go some to outdo that. But Brian did when we beat Rafe at Starks in the semi-final. He did come up to me and tell me he was jealous because something he wasn't able to do in his time was a cup final. But I pointed out to him that he got to do the playoffs and the penalty shootout and the save Josh Ray and everything else and the jubilation that came from that. So he's not really got a leg to stand on. He's got nothing to be jealous of. In terms of Challenge Cup memories, 2001, I was 9. We beat Alloa 2-1 at Broadwood.
Stop it, you were 9.
I was, yeah. And that was my first, Airdrie game was a Challenge Cup final win at Broadwood. And that's when I got the bug, and that turned me into a lifelong supporter. Clearly, 9-year-old Andrew thought, this is the stuff, Andy. It's going to be like this every single time. Every time they win, you're going to get a cup. Hasn't quite transpired that way, but, you know, I remember the penalty shootout one at McDermott as well. That was good. That was the first penalty shootout I'd seen. Bizarrely, I don't remember the year before, because the 2001 final was 2-2, wasn't it? We'd won the final the season before that as well, but I don't have any memories of that. Maybe I didn't get taken. I probably only get taken to the Broadwood one because it was Cumbernauld. So yeah, that was what set my Airdrie supporting life in motion, really. And hopefully, if we can get a win on Sunday, it'll give the bug to a lot of other 9-year-olds and younger and kids around that age and turn them into lifelong supporters and
well, that kind of leads
podcasters of the future.
That kind of leads me on to the next point, because Colm had sent a stat that said the lowest ever Challenge Cup final attendance was 2,869 for Livi versus Alloa, and he really doesn't want us to take that to take that title this time around. Although I have to say, if that does happen, I can't see it being our fault, but it is a good reminder that under 12s do go free for this game. I think it's under 12s don't have to pay, so you know, just really encourage as many fans as possible to get along and enjoy it. I don't know what kind of crowd we're taking, actually. I know we've got quite a few buses going, but I don't think we really, we tend not to do a running commentary on ticket sales, and we don't really crowd wank either, which is absolutely fair enough. I have no time for that. We'll leave that to the Falkirks of the world, shall we? But I'm going to put you on the spot, given that, you know, we don't really know this team very well. You know, kind of an unknown quantity, but so are we. What are your match predictions for Sunday? I'm going to go 2-1. 2-1, Airdrie. Who wants to go first? Sean?
Well, sensible me will say 1-0. Unsensible me after the pub on Sunday will say they play in a Farmers League 6-0.
I'm going to make sure I bump into that, Sean. Alan?
I was going to go 3-2 because it's always 3-2 in some way, but I'm going to go one step further than that. I think we're going to win 4-3. It's going to be a classic of end-to-end thrills and spills. So, yeah, 4-3.
I don't know if I could cope with it. Andrew?
Any win will do, of course. And I think, like, the players and the management team, they're not getting carried away or getting complacent about it. You know, they're very focused. They're very confident, but they're very focused and determined, and that they're going to be keyed up for the game. They're not taking it lightly. But as supporters, that's our job. We can get carried away. It makes, you know, we get into this magical thinking where we think, oh, if we're expecting to win this, then we're all going to get caught out. But it has no material difference at all how we feel. So that being said, 2-3 goal win for the Diamonds.
So on that note, I think then we'll just wrap up by wishing Reece, Dicey and all the boys the best of luck. Encourage as many people as we can to get through on Sunday. I'll probably, as normal, bump into Sean and Alan. Andrew, I'll maybe give you a wave from your lofty position. I think you're in the main stand, which is a slightly different view of the Falkirk Stadium, which I'm looking forward to. So we'll, yep, good luck, guys, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Airdrie for the cup.
What cup?
The Texaco Cup.
Welcome to the OTL podcast with our resident Stato. We've got Ross Mitchell, RSM Stats. Ross, how are you?
I am not too bad. How's yourself, Colin?
I'm very good and very excited because we're on Thursday night and the cup final's on Sunday, so not long to go. This week's been a bit mad, so massive thanks to the panellists and for Emma for getting a podcast together for everyone to listen to. But I wanted to drop in a section with you on, even more important than usual, we've got an opponent which we know very little about. So you've already done a thread on Twitter. The New Saints, right, from somebody who can watch Y Scout and can get to some statistical stuff, what have you learned about Sunday's opponents from, not from what you've seen with your own eyes, but from what you've been able to gather online?
That was a very strange. That was a very strange comment from the TNS manager, to see things with your own eyes. But yeah, putting together sort of the Twitter thread at the start of the week there. One of the big things I was noticing was kind of going back and looking at their sort of season and that they've had so far, and the season that they've had over the past kind of couple of years as well. The big thing is obviously flag, I think it's probably mentioned and lots of times, is they score a lot of goals. They are up at the just shy of the 100 mark of goals this season already, and there's still obviously a couple of months left to go in that. Pretty sure they've won the league as well, which is all been wrapped up. Funnily enough, when I was watching them, they actually remind me quite a lot of us last year. The way they go about the three up top, they maybe what we didn't do maybe as much last season was use a sort of two either side of the sort of central striker to really stretch a back line. They seem to be doing that, so I'm sure Reece will have that sort of clocked in. That's kind of thing they like to do. They like to sort of get up, especially if going up against like a back four, get the two wide players out, stretch that back line, create that space for the oncoming midfielders or your sort of central attacker. They play, I'd say, similar to us because we've obviously changed their style a little bit recently, not recently, this season. We have implemented a lot more control, but they also implement a lot of control over the games, and we'll get to the sort of elephant in the room about the standard of the league towards the end. But I mean, they're averaging a possession of 65% this season. Again, they've hit 100 goals or near enough, and that's just in the league and in a couple of Champions League games as well. The only downside of not seeing things with your own eyes and using the Y-Scout is that it sometimes doesn't cover some competitions. Funnily enough, Y-Scout actually doesn't cover the Challenge Cup. So there'll be, you hear it here first, there'll be no Airdrie stats next week, regardless of the outcome of the game, because yeah, the Y-Scout doesn't pick up on any statistics. But they are averaging three and a bit goals per game. They've knocked two or three teams for eight this season. Again, sort of really reminiscent of us last season, but with a bigger focus on possession rather than the sort of not chaos, but more control, more dominance. But the big elephant in the room is that league standard. I spoke to a couple of people who have been down there, saw some Welsh Premier League football, and they reckon, and I mean this in no disrespect to any of our friends from Wales listening to this, but they reckon the majority of the league is about League One standard, with TNS probably being around about a mid-table championship level, which, funnily enough, so are we. So yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting one on Sunday, considering obviously our defensive abilities have really stepped up this year. We've got second lowest for shots conceded against us, and second lowest for goals as well. Our defence has done a lot of the heavy lifting for us this season. I can't imagine the game's going to be nothing each, however. But again, looking at their, so let's say their main threat, right? Because they have several players that have hit double figures for goals this season, and goals has obviously been something that we've struggled with this season. So I can't really take anything away from guys down there. But you're looking at Brad Young, and he's on 24 goals this year so far. And what we would give for a 24 goal a season striker this year, made a massive difference. Look at where Brad Young plays, he's very much in the sort of central position. Again, he played at Ayr a few seasons ago. He was on loan at Ayr, and I don't really remember much about him. I don't know, like, never picked up if he scored many goals up here or not. But yeah, like I say, if you look at just his league goals, so he's on 24 for the season, 22 in the league, but he's also got those 22 league goals from an XG, cover your ears if you think that's blasphemy, of 16. So he is outscoring his XG by six, which is again just sort of highlighting he is a clinical finisher. It's no tap-ins he's scoring. High pass accuracy as well, probably higher than the average in our team. But then again, I can't imagine him making too many passes as a striker. You'd be expecting me to be kind of focusing on his finishing more than anything else.
Okay, so Brad Young's the sharpshooter, and we can maybe expect if it's Hancock and Ballantyne who are in the fullback positions, them to come under a bit of pressure with a wide front three. What about, so one of the, they're dominant in the league. Anything we can tell about their defence?
Yeah. So, aye, that was onto my next point. And they've only conceded 16 goals the whole season, which in a league, I should state. I think Hacking had knocked them for, what was it, three or four in the Champions League. And they'd played another team that I'm now going to attempt to pronounce their name in the Conference League. And that was more of a tighter game. I think that was a couple of draws and then, or a draw, and then it went out extra time or something. I might like I've got that one totally wrong, but yeah, they don't concede many goals either. And it's just again to go back to the sort of, and I'm not taking anything for granted at all. I'm actually being very cautious with TNS because they're such an unknown. But if you look at the sort of nearest, so they've conceded 16 goals in the league. The nearest team after that is a team in third, Ballytown. They've conceded 24 in the league. But if you go back to sort of the again the goals scored, they are on 99 for the season in the league, and their nearest rivals in terms of goals is Connah's Quay, finalists against Ross County a few years ago, who are on 67. So there's a difference of about 30 goals there. Yeah, again, it is really difficult to sort of sum up because it's such a different league.
And like me, you'll watch the Falkirk games. I mean, I guess my key takeaway just from watching that as a one-off game, it was pretty even. They took their chance pretty well afterwards. They were comfortable sitting in, giving Falkirk a bit more of the possession. And Falkirk had chances but weren't able to do much with it. So in the one game that I have seen, they must be decent enough. The Falkirk were in good, have been in good form most of the season. But it seemed quite far away from that. They didn't look in that game as if they could have scored, or it wasn't chances raining in. So that's what makes it interesting. This how is that because of the standard in the league, or did they just have an off day? I'm not necessarily expecting that they will be peppering our goals.
No, I think if they come at us, that almost suits us, depending on how we set up. I suppose you, like again, I'm not a football coach, right? But you either go, you go in the game and you think to yourself, right, we set up maybe a bit more defensively. Like we've had that sort of back three with sort of your two wing backs a few times. I've never liked that formation when we play. I just never feel that we're comfortable with it. They may go for that to give us an extra bit of steel at the back, and then you've got maybe have to have the two left and right sort of forwards, you know, do a bit of defending, put them on the back foot and stuff, you know, I mean, just try and mix up a little bit from that point of view. Or we just play our usual four at the back and do our hope, because obviously we're playing on a nice AstroTurf, so that suits us as well. And we play it for the back, and if they're going to come at us and they're going to press us, although we have obviously had a few sort of individual mistakes, individual errors over the past kind of couple of months at the back, we generally, when teams come at us, we can play through them. But I think it's just going to be, yeah, it's such a hard one to call as to how we're going to set us up. But the Falkirk game, like, I think there's been a little bit of a flattering of how well Falkirk played over the past sort of season in that league. I think they've done really well, and obviously they're unbeaten. Fair play, like absolute fair credit to them for that. But I think the with us leaving and with Dunfermline leaving, I think it's been an almost like an open goal for them. This league, and they've obviously built the confidence of that. So for them to go out against TNS again, obviously a similar sort of a team in a similar sort of position as them, absolutely guy in the league, scoring goals for fun. But for it to be like a 1-0 sort of damp squib where no team really looked that good. Again, I don't know if they've just kind of cancelled each other out, they've both had off days, or it's the standard of the football that's maybe been overestimated in both cases. But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So
We
you've
kind of get
been,
beat. The humiliation in Scottish football if we got beat, the first team to get beat in the final by a foreign team.
I'm just hoping there'll be a really healthy, entry crowd there, and it will be the kind of carnival atmosphere that comes along with a cup final. If we lose to a team playing in England in the Welsh League in a Scottish competition with fair play to them, like 200, 300 fans coming up for it. It just will be quite a sore one to take. But that's not to say they're not a good team. Right, you've been very measured in your assessment of them. Let's flip it around a bit. So if I make you gaffer for the day, you win some sort of SPFL trust competition by posing as a student at Hilltop Primary School. You're lining the team up for the big day. How would you line us up, given what you've learned about them?
So with the injuries and with the players we've got out, so obviously Megwa and Lyle are cup tied. I would have started Lyle all day long after his performance last week. I thought he was excellent. I'm going to be so yeah. I'd go for the back four. I'd go for the same back four that we've had minus Megwa, which kind of Ballantyne coming in. So it'd be Fordyce, Watson, Ballantyne, and Hancock, Frizzell, Telfer, and Reece in the centre of the park. Reece dropping back if he needs to. And then I know we don't do it, but I always prefer us when we go for three up top, with Todorov on either side of him, probably Magic. And I really want to see Josh O'Connor because I think that he's had a decent run in the Challenge Cup before that. I think it would be the right thing to do. Will we do it? I don't think so. I think it's going to be I don't know who he would bring in, if he would keep McMaster and then bring himself in, drop Lyle, and then have Todorov and Magic up front, sort of similar to what it was like on Saturday there. I'd love the
We
Gallagher to
went
Connor.
short. Yeah, I was going to say your man Seagal's not been mentioned yet.
I was just about to say that I'd love to shoehorn in Gal somewhere, but I'm not sure where. I'd love to see him get some game time on Saturday and get a goal. Be long overdue. I'd love to see him lift a trophy.
Yeah, it'd be very fitting if Callum Gallagher was the guy to score the winner in a cup final, given all that he's
Yeah.
done for us.
Absolutely.
My thinking's the same as yours. So you're having to Megwa for Ballantyne's a no-brainer from Saturday, and then do you play? What we started with was really five in midfield and one up top, but guys who can get forward. Then who do you replace Lyle with? Again, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you just end up shoehorning in McMaster, so you have McMaster and McCabe, and maybe let Frizzell and Telfer get forward a bit more, but it starts to feel very narrow at that point. So I think my question mark is who do you place in, and could Gabby McGill make a short shock return or something like that, who would probably be a more natural guy in a front three?
Yeah, that definitely. I think if we had everybody fit and then your front three, like I know I said Todorov, but I would love to have Gal in the centre and Lewis and Gabby either side of him. Maybe even that's your player that you bring back in the midfield is Magic. I like Magic when he plays central. I think he plays much better centrally than he does out in the wing. I've always sort of thought that. I thought when he's out in the wing, he does sometimes sort of. He loses his footing a little bit when he gets like shoved up because he's a small guy. He's not his fault. He's still growing. But I think if I was a center half and I had him running at me, I'd panic a little bit. And I think that's like, but I understand why he doesn't play central as much because obviously you've got Telfer there and you've got Frizz, and you kind of really move them out to the well. Yeah, you kind of really move them out to the wing or that. So.
Okay, brilliant, Ross. Thank you very much. And yeah,
Thanks.
fingers crossed for Saturday that we've called it right, and they're not that good,
I
and
know.
we can manage to win the cup.
I know. If I'm hideously wrong, feel free to give me loads of abuse on Twitter.
No more sorrow, but that's the chance.